Did y'all have a problem hearing me before I cut that on? I didn't think so. Well, ain't he good to us? Boy, he's been faithful. Out of any passage that I preach in the Bible, 1 Samuel 30, verse number 6, I love it. All the way through the Bible. But when I come to Mark chapter number 2, this is me. This is me. Mark chapter number 2, when Jesus passed by. Ain't nothing God can't do, amen? But there ain't nothing God can't do when he passes by, amen? If you have a copy of God's Word, I ask you to stand, Mark chapter number 2, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 1 this morning through verse number 12. I just want to take a little bit of your time this morning and preach when Jesus passed by. And again, in Mark chapter number 2 and verse number 1, and again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. Boy, thank God he's here this morning. And straightway, many were gathered together in so much that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much, and about the door. And he preached the word unto them, and they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born afar. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why does this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and take up thy bed and walk, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins? He saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thy house. And immediately he arose. Ain't you glad for that Bible word? And immediately he arose, took up the bed, went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed. And they glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. Oh, our Father and our God, as we bow in your presence this morning, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to pass by this place this morning. Lord, I ask you to pass by every heart that is under the sound of my voice, Lord God. Lord, if they be one lost, I pray they be saved. If they be one backslidden, I pray they get that joy back in their heart, Father. Lord, I pray this morning for the one that might be sick. I ask you to touch them in a mighty way. Father, I thank you that on August the 27th, 2007, you passed by me and you saved my soul from a devil's hell. Lord, I pray the next few moments that you would guard my throat and my thoughts. You would illuminate my mind. Lord, let me not say nothing that would interfere or hold you back, Father. Lord, I pray that you'd use this vessel of clay the way that you want to use it. Lord, I pray this morning you'd preach me the way you'd want to preach me. You'd do whatever you'd want to do with me this morning, Father. And Lord, I'd give you all the honor, the praise, and the glory. I do know I'm in over my head this morning. And if the Spirit of the Holy One doesn't come down this morning, Father, all we do is in vain, Father. Lord, I pray this morning that it prick hearts. I'm asking and I'm begging for the Holy Ghost to prick somebody's heart this morning. And they'd come to an old-timey altar and they'd do business with you, an old-timey God. Father, I love you and I thank you. I thank you for salvation so full and so free. Father, I love you and I ask it all in Jesus' most holy, precious name. All of God's people said, Amen. You may be seated this morning as we come this morning in Mark chapter number 2. When Jesus passed by, in his message, it was only on the forgiveness of sin. Did you know this morning the message that God is sending to you and I this morning, it is on the message of the forgiveness of sin. I thank God that he passed by my life one day. Hey, that he passed by and he showed me that I was a sinner in need of a Savior. I thank God that he passed by and he showed me all of my wrong, but he showed me all of his righteousness. He showed me where I was a sinner in need of a Savior. And I thank God for that this morning. But this morning as we come to the text, I want to look at who was present when Jesus passed by. who was there in the audience when Jesus passed by. If you'll look with me first in verse number 2 this morning, we see that when Jesus passed by, number 1, hey, was hinders that was present. Hey, were people that were hindering the work of God when He passed by that place. If you look in verse number 2, and the Bible says, and straightway many were gathered together insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much about the door. And He preached the word unto them, and they come unto Him. But before we get there, we see that the hinders that were present here, hey, they come to where the Jesus was. They come to hear Him teach, and they come to hear Him preach. Hey, but they forgot all about the brother that was behind them, the man that was behind them that was sick of the palsy. Hey, the one that was laid down, the one that was needing help. Hey, this morning I want you to know not everybody in this room has got it all together. There's people that's come in here, hey, this morning that are hurting, that needs God to pass by their life, that needs the Holy Ghost to reach down and minister to their life. You said, preacher, how were they hindering about the door? It was by their actions. Hey, can I say to you today that in most local body churches and most people that call themselves children of God, they hinder by their actions. They hinder by what they do. They hinder from people for coming, hey, to the church of God by the way they live on Monday through Saturday. Hey, but can I say to you, hey, the way you live on Sunday ought to be the way you live all week. Can I get a witness this morning? You say, how does it hinder people from coming to God? Hey, this morning, can I say to you that we hinder sometimes by our ungodly lifestyles, by the life that we live that is ungodly, that's not right with God. Hey, hindered by their unrepented sins. And this morning, I want you to know, and the unsupportedness of the Savior. Here they got there and they seen Jesus right where He was, and they were hindering a man from getting right where God is. This morning, I don't know about you, but I don't want to hinder nobody, hey, from meeting Jesus. Can I get a witness? I don't want to be a hindrance. I don't want to be the one that they look at and say, if that's what a Christian is, I don't want to be one. I don't want them to say, I don't want to go to Union Chapel, hey, with a bunch of hypocrites. I don't want them to say that about this place. I want them to say, hey, them folks over there, they're hooked up with God. Amen. Hey, they under the spout where the glory runs out. Hey, can I get an amen? Hey, this morning they hindered by their actions. Hey, hindered by their attitudes. Have you ever been to a church and the attitude of the people were uncaring? Hey, didn't care who walked in or who walked out. You never got a hug. You never got a handshake. You never got nothing. Not only was they uncaring, hey, but it was cold. Can I say to you this morning, we don't need to get cold. Amen. Hey, we don't need to get callous. We don't need to get to the place where we don't care. Hey, Jesus is passing by and He's moving on somebody this morning. Hey, they was unconcerned. They got cold. They got callous. They got to the place where they were complacent and they became hinders in the work of God. But let me show you in verse number 3 and verse number 4. Every time you see a hinderer present, there's always going to be a helper that'll show up. Hey, there may be 500 hinders, but I want you to know, I thank God, hey, this morning that we got at least 4 people how to help somebody tote their load, ain't you? Woo, glory to God. They was hinders present, but they was helpers present. Look in verse number 3. And they come unto Him. Who was it? It was His friends. One bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born afar. And when they had not come nigh unto Him for the press, they uncovered the roof where He was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. You say, how can I help somebody? How did they help somebody? Number 1, they helped it by having compassion. They saw a man in the shape that he was in, and they seen what he needed, and they knew, if I could just get him to Jesus. Do you know anybody in your life, and you say, if I could just get him to Jesus, if I could just get him to Jesus, if I could just get him to where Jesus is. They had compassion. They worked together to get him there. And they come nigh to the press, and they uncovered the roof where he was, and they had broken it up. Hey, this morning there are going to be some things in my life and some things in your life that's going to try to hinder us from getting people to Jesus. Hey, but that shouldn't stop us. We ought to be a helper. We ought to help people and love on them and have compassion to them and be committed to help somebody in this life. Amen? And you say, preacher, what kind of help was they? Can I say to you, they had devotion. Hey, when things got tough, they didn't get out, they got up. Amen. Hey, when things got tough and they didn't know where to go, they didn't get out, they got up right where he was. And they said, I tell you what we can do. Hey, we may not be able to go this way, we may not be able to go through that door, but I want you to know that's just a door. I know the door. Amen. And he is the key to death. He has everything, death, hell, and the grave. He's got it wrapped up. And if you can just get to where Jesus is, if you can just get through that crowd, if you can get through all that crowd that's hollering and screaming, been doing all these things and get right to where Jesus is. There's somebody this morning, all you hear is the chaos around you, and you need to get the chaos away from you and get to where the Christ is. Hey, get to where Jesus is. Get to where the Spirit is. Get to where God's moving and God's working, and God can move on your life. Man, there's a lot of things going to hinder you from getting to where Jesus is, but there's a lot of things that will help you get there. We was at Broken Lives Thursday night, and the men, they got up and preached, and Brother Tony got up and said, "Will you give me 3 minutes?" Man, I seen hindrances all in front of us sitting there. I'm talking about they wasn't paying attention. They wasn't acting like they loved Jesus. They didn't want nothing to do with Jesus. Man, they were just acting a bunch of, like, just acting bad. Let me leave it right there. Amen. And Brother Tony got up. He said, "Just give us 3 minutes if you don't mind." He said, "If you're in here this morning and you're lost and you don't know Jesus, will you raise your hand? Will you be honest and say, 'I don't know Jesus'? And I didn't bow my head and close my eyes because I ain't lost. Amen. Hey, I ain't in the dark. I'm in the light. I've been to the door. I've been to the spout where the glory runs out. He has saved my soul from a devil's hell." And I got looking around there and I got counting them hands that was coming up. There's about 7 of them popped up there raising their hand saying they was lost and they didn't come to know Jesus. They was going to die and go to hell. And it'd been so much stuff that had hindered them, but they finally come to a place that they might need help. And he sat down and we preached the word. And when we got done, not near one of them 7 come forward. You know why? Because the Spirit of God was either not drawing them or they was being cold to what the Spirit was trying to do. And man, as we looked around that room, there was one old boy sitting there. His name was Jesse. I'll never forget Jesse all the days of my life and all along of my life as I live, Brother J.D. And I talked to him how we got to pray. I told him, "You got to pray in the Holy Ghost. You got to break through. You got to get the breakthrough. You got to get down and repent and ask God to save you. Hey, repent and call on the name of the Lord and believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Ask Him to come into your life." And we got down there on that pew, I'm telling you, and that young man, that I seen everything hindering him. A boy's beside him was acting like they didn't want Jesus. Hey, but can I say to you, Jesse wanted Jesus. He got down there in that altar, son, his help showed up. And it wasn't by Brother BJ, Brother Jerry. His help showed up. And I want you to know, as he was down there on them knees, Brother Jerry was trying to pick and sing the altar call, and he had that thing up there, but he couldn't even pick the guitar because how loud this young man was crying out to God. Boy, our churches could use a lot of that. So this young man got to screaming and got to hollering how he was a sinner, how he was filthy, how he was dirty, how he was undone, and how he needed Jesus. And Lord God, I'm filthy, I'm undone, I'm no good, I'm worth nothing. But if you can save somebody like me, please save my soul. And old Jesse, about 6-something, 300 pounds, he's crying out to an almighty God. All of a sudden, old Jesse stops praying. After he asked the Lord to come in his heart, he starts whopping boogers every which way. Boogers last week, boogers this week. Man, y'all know what I'm talking about. You ever had it, boy, when you get under conviction of the Holy Ghost and old snot get dropping by? If you ain't never been there, you'll try it sometime. It'll do your heart a lot of good. It'll humble yourself under the mighty hand of God in a mighty way. When your pride gets broken, you get to that altar and you get to that place, and I'm telling you, everything's hindering you from getting where you need to get, but you found help because you got to where Jesus was. Old Jesse, he got to whopping that stuff away. He said, "Man, I just feel free." I said, "Amen." And I done got caught up in it down there. You'd be surprised when Jesus is working on somebody how you get caught up in it too. I was caught slap up in it, Brother John. And I said, "That boy just got saved. That boy just asked Jesus into his life. He knows what it is to get away from that and get help." And Jesse stood up and stood back by his chair there. And son, he had tears just dried up. He just sitting over there just bobbing around. Brother Jerry was picking that guitar a little bit. And I walked over to him right to his face and I said, Jesse, did you just give your life to Jesus? Is that what I heard you do? Jesse, did you just call on the name of Jesus? Jesse, did you just ask Jesus to save you?" "Yeah, I asked him." I said, "Jesse, what'd he do?" "He saved me." I said, "Jesse, did he save you?" He said, "He saved me." I said, "Jesse, would you be ashamed to get up here in front of everybody and tell them what just happened in your life? How God met you right there in your need. Everything was hindering you. All this chaos going on in this building. Half of them boys didn't want to hear it. They could care less what was going on. They didn't want Jesus. They was acting like a bunch of crazy folk in there. But there was one man that God got to dealing with. One man needed help. One man needed where Jesus was. And Jesus met him there." I said, "Will you be willing to stand up and tell them about the help that you just received?" And old Jesse said, "I guarantee you I will." And old Jesse Jesse stood up and I said, Jesse, I'm going to ask you a question in front of everybody in this room. He said, yes, sir. Jesse didn't know what was coming. And Jesse ain't a church man. Jesse ain't been to church. Jesse don't sing in the choir. Jesse ain't a preacher. Jesse ain't a deacon. Jesse ain't a Sunday school teacher. Jesse don't know nothing about Jesus, but that Jesus had just passed by. He said, yes, sir, whatever. I said, Jesse, did you just give your life to Jesus? In front of everybody, he said, I sure did. I said, Jesse, the Bible says if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father which is in heaven. Oh, Jesse lit up. He said, yeah, I'm saved. He saved. Oh, Jesse lit up, son. You hear me? That's Detroit term. You understand? God put it in the Bible where you can understand it. And I said, Jesse, but the Bible also says if you deny him, he'll deny you before the Father which is in heaven. Oh, Jesse lit up like a light bulb because listen to me. He had been hindered all his life. When he got in that altar, things in his life had hindered him from coming to where Jesus was. But he finally found help. He finally found help. And he finally received his healing. His spiritual healing. Let me show you this in the Bible. He said he brought four to where Jesus, four of them brought him back to where Jesus was. And we see that the hinders was present. We see the helpers was present. But we also see the helpless was there. And that's what Jesse was. Jesse was helpless. This morning you may have walked in here and you need Jesus to pass by your life because you're helpless. You know, a saved man still needs Jesus to pass by. Son, I'm telling you, there's times in my life if he don't pass by, this thing's over with. If he don't pass by, I'm no longer the pastor of this church. If he don't pass by, man, I'm in over my head. This thing got too deep. If he don't pass by, I'm in trouble, Brother Rodney. If God don't pass by me on a daily basis, I'm in trouble. If I don't hear that sweet voice, I'm in trouble. I got to hear him every day of my life. And that helpless man was there. Said he was sick of the palsy. And said four born him and brought him where Jesus was. And he was sick of the palsy. He couldn't get up and walk. He couldn't move. That's all you can see with your physical eye. Your physical eye, you see how helpless he was, how he was hurting, how he needed help. All you can see is this. And here this morning, all you see is people you can't see on the inside. All you see is their helplessness, and you don't know what they need. But ain't you glad that Jesus knows the problem? See, they thought it's because he's been laying out there sick of the palsy. They thought his problem was that he was sick of the palsy. They thought if we can get him to Jesus, he's going to heal his body. They thought this is what this man's got going on. You know how many people were like, if we can get him to Jesus, maybe. It's deeper than just getting him to Jesus. It's when Jesus looks down and he says, oh, there's the problem. There ain't nobody talking about sin but Jesus. There ain't nobody in this room going to talk about sin and what you wrapped up in but Jesus. You sit there, I've sat there, walk in, painted up, looking good, been to the paint shop doing the best you can, but underneath that mascara and everything you got on, your heart is a mess. You're eat to the core. You're eat to the bone. You put your best clothes on and you come to the house of God, but on the inside, you ain't nothing but a big old mess. So how do you know that, preacher? Sunday in and Sunday out, I put this suit on and on the inside, I ain't nothing but a big old mess. And I need Jesus. And you know what he does? He is so faithful, JD. I'm just going to preach this morning. That'd be okay. Y'all okay with that, ain't you? Because see, I can't lie. I can lie to you all I want to. But I can't lie to Jesus. You know what he does? When I'm just a big old mess, and I say, well, this is the big one here. I'm done. I'm not ready to flip my... Y'all ever do that? He just comes up beside me. He loves on me. Then he sent my brother Tony sometime just to love on me. Sent my brother Austin sometime just to love on me. And I'm like, what's this dude hugging on me for, telling me he loves me? I don't need him. Then when he leaves, I said, man, I'm glad he came by. Jesus passed by. The only body in the whole conversation that talked about sin was Jesus. He said, well, I just helped him because he had a flat. The flat may have been because of sin that was in the life. Well, I just helped him get to Jesus because he had a problem. Oh, no. It's deeper than you can ever see. Why do you pour out to people? It's deeper than you know. Look what Jesus said about this man that was helpless. They said they born him, brought him to Jesus. They helped. They got him as far as they could get him, but they couldn't get him no further. Look what Jesus said. The helpless was present, sick of the palsy. He was a sick man. He was a hurting man. He was a helpless man. Then medical advancements was minimal, and they needed Jesus. Today, medical advancement is great, and they still need Jesus. But when Jesus saw this man, he didn't see his hurting as much as he seen the sin that was in his life. Ooh. Verse 5, now listen to me this morning. Boy, God's burnt my heart, but listen to me this morning. You come in here and you say, I need Jesus. Man, listen to me. Jesus is more concerned about the sin in your life than the physical ailment that you're going through. I know many of people, and you do too, my physical body can be fine, nothing broke, nothing going on, but if my heart ain't right, I'm hurting all over. And I know people that's been right with God. I'm talking about J.D. Markham, right where they needed to be on the spot where the glory run out. I'm talking about bones hanging out of their leg and they praising him on the mountaintop. Why? Because the soul, the heart, and the spirit is right. When the spirit ain't right, ain't nothing right. When the spirit's right, it gets right. He says this in verse number 5, and when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sin. They think it's man. They think they've done him a... Listen. They brought him to Jesus. And Jesus sees what they can't see. This morning, you have come to church, and Jesus sees what you can't see. And this morning, he may be calling it out in your life. Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Can I tell you, who was present when Jesus passed by? The hinders was present. If you're waiting on all the naysayers to get out of your life for you to follow Jesus, you won't never follow him. If you're waiting on all the hindrances and everything to get right, you'll never. I'll never forget, I got surrendered to preach the ministry. Stood up, man, that was the craziest thing I'd done at that moment, Kevin McDaniel. Stood up, told the church I got surrendered to preach. Didn't even know how to tie a tie. Didn't know nothing. And they said, okay, you're going to preach next Sunday. I said, what? It's too quick. But God knows. God knows. If you're waiting on your hindrances to move, to start following Jesus, it won't work. If you're waiting on your hindrances to get out of the way for you to be baptized, it won't work. Been saved, never been, it won't work. If you're waiting on your hindrances to get out of the way to start following, fully following Jesus, child of God, it won't work. There are going to be hindrances to the day you die. If you're waiting on somebody to help you to start following Jesus, listen to me, they helped him there. But don't you always wait on somebody else to help you because it may not come. Your help comes from the Lord, from Jesus. But you may be helpless this morning. And I got good news. The healer is in the house. The healer's present. Look what he says in verse number 10. Let's go to verse number 9. Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk? Nobody in this room can dispute this man getting up and walking. But only Jesus knows if the sin's been forgiven. I've seen people that God's reached down and healed their body and healed them. But listen to me, a healing doesn't mean you're a child of God. What? A healing doesn't mean that your sins have been forgiven. You say, well, I had an experience in my life. I got healed. That don't mean you're a child of God. He heals a lost man like he heals a saved man. It rains on the just like it does on the unjust. So what does this mean, preacher? What does this mean, preacher? The greatest need in your life today is for Jesus to pass by and take care of the sin that's in your life. He says in verse 10, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. When he showed up, he was the superior healer. He was superior in what he did. There was no mistakes. There was no arguing that God had been there, that Jesus had showed up. But can I say to you, he's a special healer. When he does it in a special way. He healed this man's heart. He healed this man. When Jesse came up there Thursday night from the altar, I knew something had happened in Jesse's life. I seen a man go down broke. I'm talking about broke. And come up with a different, his appearance. I never have to open my mouth to my wife. You know what my wife would say? She said, what's going on? What's wrong? I'm like, nothing. She said, what's wrong with you? I said, nothing's wrong with me. She said, yeah, there's something wrong with you. I said, ain't nothing wrong with me. Why? She said, I can see it on your face. I see it on your face. So how do you know? I see it on your face. Why? What am I doing that's giving it away? She said, I don't know what it is giving it away, but I just know what's on your face. This morning, I'm looking around this room this morning. I'm no prophet, I'm no priest, and I'm no king, I'm no nothing. I'm just a child of God, royal priesthood, chosen generation, peculiar people. But I'm not that dumb to know I can look around this room and I see faces that's hurting so bad. You're hurting to the core, and you need something. You can go everywhere you want to go, digging everything you want to dig in, buy all you can buy, get all you can get, and it won't fix that void that only Jesus fills. This morning, whatever's hindering you from coming to this altar and giving your life to Jesus, coming to this altar and getting back in fellowship with Jesus, whatever you need this morning, I want you to know that the altar's open. The helper's here. The healer's here. He's right there. He's so close. This morning, if you're not there, what would hinder you from getting to Jesus? Said they walked into Ronald Reagan's office when he was president. And when he walked into that where the presidency was and on his desk, the whole time Ronald Reagan was president, on his desk where everybody seen when they walked in, it said this. You'd be surprised what can get done when you don't care who gets the credit. Them four boys that grabbed him and got him to Jesus, they didn't care who got the credit. All they wanted to do was to get him to Jesus. This morning, all y'all want to do is your pastor. I just want to get you to Jesus. I don't want a bit of credit for it. I just want to get you to Jesus. I can't satisfy you. JD can't satisfy you. The deacons here can't satisfy you. This church won't satisfy you. The only thing that'll satisfy is Jesus. Father, I love you and I praise your holy name. Right now, who's sitting here right now? You passed by them this morning. You have angel wings has brushed by them this morning. The Holy Ghost is just encamped around them this morning. Oh, he's talking to somebody else, but not me. That's exactly who God's talking to. Not somebody else, it's you. And this morning, if there's something hindering your life, Lord, I'd pray this morning that you'd move on that person, let them step out. Let them come to an old-timey altar and do business with you. Lord, if they need a healing, touch that body this morning. Lord, if they need help, help them this morning. Because you are the great physician. You're the one that can reach down and make all things new. And Lord, my prayer is this morning that if they be one lost, that they get saved. Father, if they don't know if they're saved or lost, they're lost. Father, there's no in-between. Father, there's no way a man, woman, boy, or girl can meet you and not know it. There's no way they can meet the King of Glory and not know it. That man that was let down through that roof, he knew when he met Jesus. Lord, there's no way they can meet you and not know it. You're too big. You're too great for somebody to meet you and not know it. Lord, this morning, whoever needs that word, I pray you'd put it deep in that heart. And they do something about it before it's eternally too late. I love you and I thank you for saving me. And I thank you that you've gave me a burden for lost folk. Lord, we don't have to keep walking the way we walk. We can be turned in the name of Jesus. Amen. I ask you.